It is a place of refuge and restoration for women and children in crisis in downtown Fresno since 1955. I'm talking about the Evangel Home of Fresno. And you've tuned in to the weekly radio voice of the Evangel Home. Welcome to Heartline. Here's your host, Jim Tuck.
It's always a delight to turn on the microphone and make sure it's recording and begin our conversation as we record another Heartline, the radio voice of Evangel Home here at 137 North Yosemite in beautiful downtown Fresno, 137 and several other addresses. Jerry Brenneman is here. We're sitting in her office, and probably 97% of the time over the years, Jerry, we have a resident who's with us as a guest. We're going to hear Lori's story in just a moment. So it's an amazing story, and we like to be very spontaneous, but some interesting facts just leaked out as we were conversing before we turned on the mic, so we've got a lot of ground to cover. So why don't you introduce Lori, and we're going to hear her story then.
Okay, thank you, Jim. And before I introduce Lori, I just want to mention that our last couple of guests, Shelley was on last week, and the week before I think we had Mary. And I don't know when those programs air, but Mary has found a place to live, and she's so happy. She was just wandering around yesterday in tears, thanking us for what we had done, which was basically to let her stay here way past her time because she was always so close to finding something, and she finally did. And then Shelley is in the garden, so that's been taken care of, and she went about taking care of business like a real pro. So those were very good. And so I'm thinking, okay, this is now our third in a series of life is a struggle, but they're going to make it. Yeah. And I feel Lori is in a different spot every day, I think, actually. I think for her, every day is getting a little better. And I'm just very eager to see where God takes her. That's a new thing for her, is any relationship with God. But I think that's very exciting that, you know, she's here. And our job, Jim, as you know, is not to convert people, is not to carve notches in our belts of how many people we've saved, because we don't do it.
Right.
The best we can do is be examples, teach, show women what God has done for us, and then let him get that relationship going.
Right.
You know, we have chapel twice a day. We pray when the women want to pray with us personally. We teach, but we can't hit people over the head and say, you know, if you don't accept Jesus, you're going to hell. That just doesn't work.
No, and you know, that's an excellent point, because you do have to think, what's the end game? What are we trying to accomplish here? You can throw stuff on the wall and feel like you've told true statements, but if it doesn't get the desired results, then there's no point to it.
Exactly. And I think for many of our women, they're already living in hell, and the fear of conversion just does not work for most people. And so we really wanted, and Jim, where I freed myself from that was many years ago. I had been here just a year or two, and I think I've shared this story. And Lori, forgive me, this has nothing to do with introducing you, but everything to do with how important it is that we get out of the way and let God do what he wants to do. But we had a young woman in here named Erin, from Mississippi, I think. And a little tiny thing, I remember she had three kids, and she came to, there was a box, a note card box on my desk, and we were supposed to keep track of how many meals we served, how many this, how many that, and how many had been saved. Well, that just went against everything that seemed right to me, and I said, I can't do that. Well, I mean, we had to submit the statistics to something we belonged to. It didn't get us any money or any favor. It just was something everyone did. So you kept track in this box. And I said, I can't do it. And I was told you have to do it. And so I didn't do it. And then one day, Erin came into my office, and she said, I love it when Eleanor and that group comes. I get saved every time they come. And I thought, yep, that's why I don't like keeping those statistics. Erin didn't get the language. And then I'm thinking, how many women are in here talking a good story just for us? And then when they leave, we don't know the results. Or those women that look like huge failures. Or those graduates that slip back, that maybe at one time would have been a success, and then they fail, and then they regroup. You just cannot stop at a point in someone's life and make them a statistic for Jesus. So we don't do it. So, Lori, what has that got to do with you? Lori is new to all of those sort of things, but she's not new to Evangel Home. She was here in August several months ago.
Yeah, for about 3 days.
Okay. And then she has now been here for 3 weeks this time. A person is allowed to come back 3 times in their life. So she's got to get it right this time and decide what to do. She still has one more time. We did have one woman here that we had to usher out practically who had been here 3 times. And it's our desire to let every one of them leave with dignity. Even if we have to dismiss them, we don't stand there and argue with them because they might be okay later on. And we tried with this other woman 3 times, Jim, and every time it ended the same, even though it was almost 15 years between this one and the last one. Always ended the same. So,
and you know, God never gives up on them. But there are practical ramifications to taking up bed space when there's a track record of being a user and not completing the change. So, Lori, tell us about your life. Let's back up 6 months, for example. Things were not obviously hunky-dory. You were here in August. What led you to come to Evangel Home last summer?
Well, I was living in a place that wasn't a clean and sober environment. I've been clean for 4 months now, but I was living in a place where just on the other side of the door there were people using, and I gathered my stuff and I didn't look back, and I walked over to the Evangel Home.
So you've been a user in the past. When did that start? How many years ago, roughly? How old were you?
I want to say approximately 20 to 25 years. It's been a very long time.
What was the trigger? Why the first time did you decide, I'm going to give this a try?
I didn't even realize that till recently, and that had to do with my counselor here. It was my childhood. I went through a very painful childhood, and I used everything and anything I could get my hands on to numb my pain, to forget about it. And meth became my drug of choice.
Wow. So in August, you were living in a situation that was you viewed as not healthy, and you came to how'd you hear about Evangel Home? Let's go there.
Because I had been here in August for 3 days.
Oh, okay, but back in August, how did you hear about Evangel Home? Why here?
I'm trying to remember. Oh, my memory. Actually, it was a referral list, community referral list that
going
I had
got.
Yeah. Yeah, going down the list, and I called, and they accepted me, and I came here for 3 days. But like I said, I wasn't ready to stop using.
And there's a big difference, isn't it?
A big difference in what?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not ready to stop using, or yes, now I'm ready to stop using.
Yeah, it's all about. I'm 44, and I'm tired of being tired. I think one of the ladies that was here at for chapel last week. Kind of said, aren't you tired of being tired? And I said, I'm really tired of being tired. I want a closer relationship with God, which is new to me, and I also want a very close relationship with my kids. And I just am tired of being tired.
So you walked away from that situation a month ago and came back. Did you have any misgivings about a return trip to Evangel Home?
About how it was going to be this time?
Well, did you have any concerns you wouldn't be welcomed back, for example?
No, because I called every day, and I got an overwhelming great response from the ladies here. They were, yeah, come in. You know, we need to have a meeting and see if you can all come in. And I know that several of them have to meet. I don't know if it's all of them or whatever, but they said, come on back.
I'll explain that. Whenever someone comes in for the first time, the house manager on duty does a phone screening and then sets up an interview that she does or the next house manager does. If someone has been here before, every Wednesday we have a meeting that's 4 of us, and we discuss it. Because at that point, someone like Lori or someone like this woman that we had to dismiss, when they've been here before, you kind of need another perspective. And so that gives us that other perspective. And the women that we say no to, Jim, are typically the ones that nothing is ever their fault. You know, I didn't do this, and I didn't do that, and so-and-so did this, and I didn't really steal that. It's just, you know,
yeah.
We want people who are willing to step up to the plate and take some responsibility. or if they're in the exact same situation that they were the last time they were here. And you see certain people that are accessing every ministry, every service, every help in town, and they just keep going in circles. At some point, we're saying, no, we think we want to give the next woman at the door a chance first.
Yeah. Tell me about your kids. What's going on there?
My youngest is going to be 18 on the 12th of this month, and she's very angry with me right now. She's
really? Why?
She's just tired of me going into... She's tired of me being a drug user. She stuck by me with all this unconditional love that she had for all these years and loved me and worshiped me. And she's like, Mom, I love you. I just want to be with you. I pushed her away. And now she's Miss Popular at her school, and she's got that, I call it the teenage wall of anger up. And she, but I call her every day. I say, I love you and miss you. And sometimes she hangs up before I can say, she hears the miss you part. But I'm not going to stop because I know.
Yeah, she's got to see a change.
Yeah, she's got to see it. This time she's got to see it. It's not just going to be about words. She's got to see it.
I'm very, very thankful that she's not following in your footsteps.
I don't know that she's not.
Okay. Well, when you said Miss Popular, I thought maybe she was healthy popular, but...
She is. She's a senior. She's going to be graduating. She's class president out of her school, and she's... But I kind of get the feeling that she goes out on the weekends and things like that. But I think in reality, she's a very good kid, though. She's going to graduate.
So we're down to the last minute, believe it or not. Lori, what do you see down the road for Lori?
I'm actually looking for work, and I'm going to keep the Lord. And I read the Bible every day, and I know that if I wake up with prayer and keep the Lord in my life every day, I get blessed.
Have you found a church?
I've been going to the Cornerstone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is certainly key. Quick observation, Jerry, before we close this thing down.
Probably that it's going to be real tough for Lori if she tries it on her own.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that there's some network, there's some connection, there's some counseling, there's some program you're going to stick with, because it's going to be real tough to do it on your own.
Yeah, these transitions typically take a little longer than a month. Well, Lori, thank you for coming and sharing today. Jerry, it's always a pleasure to sit down and chat with you. And I got other questions, but we're out of time. So, Ken, thank you so much. Take this conversation, turn it into a radio program. And my listening friend, thank you for joining us today on this edition of Heartline from Evangel Home of Fresno.
The Evangel Home of Fresno can be reached by phone in the 559 area code 264-4714. 24/7 online, evangelhome.org. Thank you for tuning in. We'll talk to you next week, same time, same station, for the radio voice, the RV of the Evangel Home in Fresno, Heartline. Thank you for tuning in.